So hi, everyone. Welcome. Thanks for tuning in. So my name is Layani. I'm a software engineer at Citibank. And today I would like to share with you a few tips and tricks so you can use Java on Visual Studio Code. And I hope these tips can help you, you know, if you haven't adopted yet, or maybe even give it a try. So I have prepared here four different types of topics that I would like to go through with you. So first things first, setting up the environment. And this goes if you are already an experienced Java developer and you only want to try it out to use Visual Studio Code, or if maybe you're a student and you want to start learning Java. So this tip is going to be for both of you. Also, I'm going to talk about some useful extensions of the basic extensions and some other ones that I also used, and some basic Java functionality. When I posted this on Twitter, what you would like to see in this presentation, and a lot of people replied they would like to see some of the common functionalities that are already available in other IDEs, such as Eclipse and IntelliJ IDEA. So if they could use the same thing here on Visual Studio Code. And spoiler, the answer is yes, and I'm going to show you a few things. And last, we're going to see how we can create and run projects, different kind of projects, and also how we can run and debug tests. And hopefully I'll have enough time to show you everything that I have prepared for. So first things first, before we get started, documentation is your best friend. So whenever we are learning a new tool or new language or technology, it's always a good idea to go first to that documentation. And Visual Studio Code documentation is really good. So when we open up the page, and here you have a screenshot of the Java documentation for Visual Studio Code, the first thing that you see is how to install Visual Studio Code for Java. Now, if you don't have the JDK installed, if you have never done any Hello World with Java before and you want to get started, this tip is for you. Because as you can see on the screen, we have two special coding packs for Java. This means that when you install this coding pack for Java, it's going to install the OpenJDK. So you're going to install the Java development toolkit that is required for you to compile and run the Java programs locally in your computer. Second thing is going to be Visual Studio Code, of course. And the third thing are the basic extension pack that is required in order for Visual Studio Code to have the support for Java. And right now we have Windows and Mac. Last year when this was released, we only had a support for Windows. Now we also have support for macOS. And I hope in the future we also have support for Linux, so we can have coverage for all the three operating systems that are supported by Visual Studio Code. Okay, so if you have never worked with Java before, this is the way to go. However, if you already have Java installed, maybe the GDK, if you're using any other editors or IDEs, and you like to try it, Visual Studio Code, how do you do that? So first things first, if you already have Visual Studio Code installed, the first thing to do is to install some extensions pack. Now we have two major extensions packs here that I love. The first one is the Java Extension Pack, which adds the basic functionality. So this is all that you need in order to get started working with Java in VS Code, which is the Java Extension Pack by Microsoft. The second one is of the Spring Boot Extension Pack. This one I really like because I'm also a Spring Boot developer. So if you're using MicroProfile or Quarkus, there is also an extension pack for that. But for Spring Boot especially, this is the way to go. And I've ended up creating my own extension pack, just making a reference to the existing extensions with a few other extensions that I find very useful, such as Tomcat. If you're not a Tomcat fan, if you prefer Jetty, you can also install Jetty. There's also XML, because especially for legacy projects, we're always going to end up needing XML. Lombok. And I know some people love Lombok, other people don't like it. So if you don't like it, you don't have to install it. But if you do use Lombok, we do have an extension to add the support, the same thing as we have in other IDEs. The Breakit Pair Colorizer. This is going to make easier to read Java code, especially when we have a lot of nested loops or a lot of if-elses and streams, reactive programming with Spring Web Flux, and also some lambda expressions. So that's really helpful and help us to read the code more easily. Sonarlint for me is a must-have. Well, I work for a corporate company, so Sonarlint is something that we cannot even get past to merge the PR if you don't get everything fixed. And of course, check style for Java, just to make sure that all developers are following the code conventions. And of course, Docker. So if you're using Spring Boot, especially the latest version, the latest versions, there is also a good probability that you're also going to need Docker. Or if you don't, that's always a good opportunity for you to learn and get started with some new technology. And also, if you already have the JDK installed, what you can do, you can go back to the settings in Visual Studio Code, and you can set your Java home so you have the current version. And especially if you're working with multiple projects that do require different versions of Java, you can also configure what are the different versions. In my case, I have Java 8, 11, and the latest one, which is Java 15 installed. And I have a few other customizations as well. And everything is available in Visual Studio Code, and I'm going to show you in just a minute. One tip, independently if you have existing projects or if you're just getting started. So this is something that I always have to open up whenever I'm opening a new Java project. And if you see right here, we have this checkbox, so make sure you have that checked, because what it does is every time that you open a Java project in Visual Studio Code, this will show up, and here you have all the major shortcuts, and also, of course, you have the link for the documentation. Remember, again, documentation is your best friend in this case, where you can always go back to and read something that you need to reference. And create new projects. And it also shows some of the extensions that you don't have installed. So in my case, for this particular workspace, I don't have MicroProfile and Quarkus. But of course, if you use Quarkus and MicroProfile, you can also install those as well. And with just a click, it's easy to do that. Now, going to the basic functionality that we have in Visual Studio Code compared to other editors and IDEs, since this was a question, a reply that I got a lot. The answer is yes, we do have this basically the same functionality that we have in other IDEs. The first one, for instance, whenever we are creating just plain Java classes, the POJOs or the models, right? We just declare the class and all the attributes. And then the first thing that you're going to do if you're not using Lombok is, of course, create your getters and setters, constructors that you need, the methods toString, equals, hash code, and whatnot. And we can do that. So all you have to do is right-click. And in Visual Studio Code, you're going to learn that we do a lot of things with the right-click. So right-click, and then you have the options available for you. In this case, it's source action. Excuse me. And we can select what's the option that we need. Do you want to generate getters and setters? Do we want to generate a constructor? So you don't have to code anything manually. The IDE can, in VS Code, can do that for you. And we always get that pop-up on the top with the option so we can customize our selection and get the code exactly as we need. And of course, if you're working especially with legacy projects or big projects where we're going to have design patterns implemented, so we have a lot of interfaces and you have implementation of those interfaces and you are making a reference of the interfaces in your classes, but you're actually looking for the actual implementation. So we do have all this functionality also, just right-click and you're good to go. Go to the implementations, go to the definition, find all the references, find all the implementations. You can see also the tree with all the implementations, all the places where a particular class or a particular method is being used. So the same thing that we get in the other IDEs, basically. And the other tip, and this is something that I really, really like to, because I never memorize, especially when I'm working with Spring Boot projects, and I do like properties. As Bruno, I don't like YAML very much, so I do prefer to use properties, but you get the same thing on a YAML file as well. But in case of properties file, if you don't remember what are the options that are available, but you do remember only like a a word or something that you want to make a reference to. In that case, what are the Hibernate options that we have in a property file in the Spring Boot project? So we can just start typing Hibernate and we get the full IntelliSense as well. And this for me is a must have, and it helps me a lot because I never remember what to put in these property files because I'm not creating Java projects every day, but mostly maintaining existing projects. So that's really helpful. Okay, so this was just a gist that I wanted to show to you. So I want to spend the next 10 minutes show you hands-on how we actually can use Visual Studio Code with Java development. And I'm quickly going to switch here to Visual Studio Code. I have this project right here. This is a servlet CRUD. So this is a basic CRUD using Java EE or Jakarta EE, as we're saying nowadays. And as I mentioned, this Java overview is really helpful. Because if you have your project, if you're missing something, or if you want to install the key binding, so if you are very used to using the Eclipse shortcuts or IntelliJ shortcuts, you can install the same shortcuts here in Visual Studio Code. And I just installed the Eclipse key bindings here for me, so I can use the same thing. For example, in Eclipse, one thing that I use a lot to find all the classes is the Control Shift R, where I can look up for a particular class name. So I can do the same thing right here. I just typed Control Shift R, and I have all the information, and I can search for the class that I'm looking for. And of course, VS Code also has the one by default, which is Command P or Control P, which basically does the same thing. So you can even use both if you want to. Now, so as I mentioned before, this is a Jakarta EE or Java EE project that we have right here. So we have a pom.xml, and I did create this project entirely using VS Code. So basically what I did is I have the Maven extension installed because I did install the Java extension pack by Microsoft. So I can just come here, the create Maven project, and I do get this pop-up on the top, which is usually where we have all the information whenever we are using something or an extension in VS Code. So I can select, for example, the quick start, what's the Maven version, and then it's gonna ask me to select where I wanna create this project. And then I'm gonna get a few questions here in the terminal to answer, for example, the name of the project, what is the package, you know, all those Maven questions that we usually have to answer before we create the project. And then you can just come here and start creating your Java classes. Now, there are two ways for us to create some classes. As in any other IDE, we usually have two views. The first one are all the files, as we can see right here. But we also have this one, which is the Java projects. With this Java project one, what we can do, we can see all the classes. In this case, this is not showing up right here, but I'm going to show you a project where we can see all the classes and all the properties that we have in this particular Java project. Another thing that we have also is Maven. So I do use Maven personally. It's what I prefer to use. But if you do prefer Gradle, you also have something similar for Gradle as well. So here in Maven, we can expand and see all the tasks that are available. And let's say, since this is generating a WAR file, I can just come here, and if I hover this option, I see the run button, and then I can ask Maven to execute this particular task. This is also good because you don't have to remember the command that you have to enter in the terminal or in the command line. So once that's done, we get our WAR file. So now, how exactly can we execute this WAR file? We need an application server. Remember that we're not using Docker, we're not using microservices here yet. We're talking a little bit about some legacy projects or maybe new projects that we're gonna create in a more old school way. The good thing is we can just right-click, remember the right-click in VS Code, and we can run or debug. If you have Jetty installed, it's gonna show you the options to run or debug on Jetty. And if you have Tomcat, as I do, it's gonna show you for the Tomcat. And of course, we also have the support for Tomcat. All you have to do, just click on this plus icon and open what is your Tomcat home. And Visual Studio Code is going to do the rest for you. So once you have here, and this is something that I also like, I think this is developer friendly because it's something easy. It's a easy way for you to configure Tomcat to run the way that you have to. So again, if you right click, always remember the right click. You see the server configuration, so you can edit the server.xml for Tomcat. You can also customize the GVA options. In this case, what I have here, this particular project, I'm using a few functionalities that are not ready yet. So they are feature functionalities from Java 14 and Java 15, such as records and the pattern matching and the template strings. So I do have the enable preview flag here as well. And if you want to, you can also enable the helpful null pointer exceptions, which were also introduced in Java 14, if I'm not mistaken. So there you go. You have all your JVM options. And again, right-click again, you can start or debug. When you start or when you debug, of course, you get all the logs here as well. So, you know, you can just check the logs, see if everything is okay, and, you know, just do whatever you have to do. And you can also open in the browser. So if you forget, what port is Tomcat running? So usually localhost 8080. So you can also open this in the browser. Now, so this is usually for Maven projects, and you get the gist. It's all that you can do. Now, let's switch to Spring, because Spring is a framework that I personally love. And we had a talk before about Spring as well. And you can leverage all those, everything that was mentioned, also using Visual Studio Code, if you like. So for Spring, what we usually do, and I have here the Spring initializer, we usually go to start.spring.io. We enter all the information here, do all our selections, and we select all the dependencies, let's say Spring Boot DevTools, and I have Lombok here. You can add the web and whatever other dependencies that you need. You click on generate. This is gonna download a zip file. What we usually do is unzip the file and open this project in your favorite IDE. So in Visual Studio Code, we do have an extension for that, which is the Spring Initializer. If you go here to the Java overview, in case you close it, you can always go back to the command palette. If you don't know where it is in View Command Palette, or you can use the shortcut, which is Control-Shift-P or Command-Shift-P on macOS and the Java overview. So you click on Spring Boot Project. You can choose between Maven or Gradle. What's the Spring Boot version that you want? The default package. Now, I have this also customized to always use my custom package and the name of my project. And again, this is what I think that's really nice, because I can see here also what is all the dependencies that I need. So I'm going to use Lombok. I'm going to use, let's say, Reactive, Spring Data Reactive MongoDB. I'm going to use Spring Web Reactive. So I want to create a Reactive Spring project. So I have all my dependencies here, and I can press Enter, or I can click here. And again, select the project, and I'm going to create my project. Now, I have already a project created here. I'm quickly going to switch it up. And as you can see, I have my test here. And again, this is a Java project, so it opened the Java overview for me. Now, one thing that I find really useful, especially with Java projects, is we created the Java, the Spring project, and we selected a few of the dependencies. But something that usually happens to me is I always forget something. So what we usually do is we go to Google and or to Bing, and we search what's dependency. You can add that manually. Or what you can do, and this is something that I really, really love about Visual Studio Code, you can open up your pom.xml file. So just to give you a context, this is a reactive Spring Boot, Spring Web Flux project, and I'm using MongoDB. So now suppose I want to deploy this project on Azure. So in this case, I will need Azure support for Cosmos DB, and also, of course, to deploy this project on Azure. So I would need the the Azure dependency here as well. So what I can do, right-click, always remember the right-click again, add starters, and I love this option. And here we go. I have all the dependencies here again. And what I can do, I can select the Azure. So this is going to get me a support to Cosmos DB. Select the dependencies. I'm going to proceed because I want to refresh all my project. It's going to refresh the POM configuration. And now it's going to ask if I wanted to synchronize the Java class path as well. So yes, please do synchronize. And I'm going to add this new dependency to my project. And this covers the Maven file. Now, we're done creating the project, right? So it's also important for us to run the project. Again, what I wanted to show you before was the Java dependency view. What I can do here, since I have all my packages here, I can create a Java class here. And this is really nice. Let me see here, demo controller. And I have a class interface, enum, and even records, because I can, you know, I can use the newest functionalities that are available in Java that are still in preview. So I can create a record here as well, class interface, and so on. And I do have the IntelliSense. I do have the automatic imports of the classes and everything else that I do need. For running the project, this is, if you open any class that we have the public static void main, you usually get this run and debug. Now, this can be any kind of project. It doesn't need to be a Spring project. It can be just a simple Java project. So you do get the run and debug. In case you're trying to open or run a big project, whenever you open the project in VS Code, it might take a few seconds because what VS Code is going to do is just analyze all your source code so we can actually show you exactly what you can run. But you do have the option right here and you can click on run and debug. However, if you do have the Spring package extension installed, you get this Spring dashboard. If you look here on the top, right now the JDConf logo is on top of it. But if you look here, let me see if I can, no, I cannot do. But on behind the JDConf logo that we have here right now, we do have the buttons. But if you can access those buttons, you also have the Spring dashboard here. So what you can do is just click on run. And then it's going to try to resolve the classes and compile. And then there we go. We have running the project. And we're going to run the project. The same thing that you can do is you can debug as well. And debugging, you have the exactly same environment as we get in other IDEs, you know? You can watch variables, you have your call stack, you have all the breaking points that you want to track here. And as you can see, we have a project up and running. And once we have this project up and running, again, you can go back to the browser and you can also open your project in the browser. You can stop. And when it comes to tests, what you can do, you also have this icon right here for tests. I have a few tests that I have prepared for this presentation. You can try to run all the tests, and I'm going to make sure that this is stopped. You can try to run all the tests. And again, this is going to take a few seconds to run all the tests. And once the tests are executed, you start to see the green bullets right here that the tests have passed. So if you choose to open the test, you're also going to get these check marks right here. You get an X in case they are not, they did not pass. And once you open this, you can actually get a nice report. Now, the only thing that for me that's still missing is some kind of tool where I can see all the code coverage that I have in my project. But maybe this is something that we can expect for the future since there is already a GitHub issue for that. You might be thinking, if you really want to adopt VS Code as your main tool, it's ready, you can go ahead. We have all the functionality that we need here. But if you're still not sure, one thing that I would still advise you is please give it a try. And the reason because it, we still have the GitHub code spaces. And in GitHub code spaces, which we're going to have a talk later today, we can use all these extensions in GitHub code spaces as well. So take leverage of that so you can increase your productivity. Let me quickly go back here to my slides. This is all that I wanted to show to you. Thank you very much. There are many more tips and tricks that are available. So I'm going to leave it up some links so maybe you can check them out and learn more about how we can use even more functionalities in VS Code and also the source code that I have presented. And thank you very much.
Much for your time. That was a lot to unpack. The Java support in VS Code only continues to grow. We see key extensions. If we only got the key extensions that bring Java support to VS Code, the number of downloads are already above 20 million downloads. And one thing that I like to go is I go to VS Code and I select show me the popular extensions. And the Java extension is already on the top 5. So, you know, Java developers are using VS Code, especially when they are web developers that have to deal with JavaScript front end and CSS and HTML. It's easier for them to just stick on the same editor and just plug those Java extensions and write Java code. I do have to ask, do you actually use VS Code eventually, or is it something that you were still experimenting and learning and bringing that content to the developers that follow you?
I do. I actually do. Depending on what I have to do on the day, I actually open VS Code for my... We mostly use Spring at work, so I usually especially with Spring.
Nice. What is the... regardless of Java on VS Code, what is the one thing on VS Code that you like most?
I think it's the option to customize however I need, because I also use for other technologies that I work with. And I can customize according to the workspace. So whenever I'm working with Java, I have all my Java extensions. And when I switch it to Angular, which is the other technology that I work with, I can, you know, customize to only use the Angular extensions that I need, and the Java ones will be disabled. So I think this is really cool.